those Northwest pilots did not fall asleep and they weren't arguing. Monday saw 14 U.S. helicopter casualties in Afghanistan. And NTSB says the elderly pilot had been warned by doctors to stop driving his car. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, October 27th, 2009. The National Transportation Safety Board says it spent 5 hours interviewing the pilots of that Northwest flight that departed San Diego, then overflew by 150 miles its intended destination at Minneapolis-St. Paul. NTSB says the pilots have admitted using their personal laptop computers on the flight deck in violation of airline policy to access and discuss crew schedules and discussing changes related to Northwest's acquisition by Delta. The pilots say they were aware of radio chatter but were distracted, and it wasn't until a flight attendant asked about ETA that the captain realized they'd overflown MSP. The board says the pilots deny they argued or fell asleep. The cockpit voice recorder caught only the last 30 minutes of the flight, and that recording starts when the plane is on approach, missing the entire period of interest. NTSB said it planned to interview the cabin crew today. About the only thing that appears certain is that the pilots won't need to worry about that schedule for a while. Stay tuned. Two separate incidents involving NATO helicopters have killed 14 Americans in Afghanistan in a single day. Few details are available about either of the incidents, both reported Monday morning. Four died in a mid-air collision in the southern part of the country, and two others were injured. Hostile fire has been ruled out in that incident. 10 more Americans, 7 soldiers, and 3 civilian contractors died when their helicopter came down during an anti-drug raid in the western portion of the country. The Taliban have claimed to have shot down the aircraft, and multiple media sources report the crash came during a firefight with forces associated with opium traders that left more than a dozen enemy fighters dead. U.S. officials say so far it's unlikely the chopper was downed by enemy fire. There are reports another 12 Americans and 14 Afghans were injured. The Associated Press quotes U.S. officials as calling yesterday one of the deadliest days of the war for Americans. A fatal accident in June of 2008 has gone from sad to sadder. An 86-year-old pilot offering sightseeing flights at a Lions Club breakfast fundraiser crashed near Fremont Airport in Ohio, killing himself and 5 passengers. The NTSB reports that Gene Damschroeder, who claimed 25,000 hours over a flying career dating to the 40s, had 4 car wrecks between 1998 and 2007 and had been warned twice by doctors not to drive anymore. His distance vision was 20/100 in both eyes, but the board says he omitted mention of those doctor's visits on his applications for renewal of his medical. The AME, who kept renewing Damschroeder's medicals since 1998, was decertified earlier this year by the FAA for improper issuance of medical certificates. The pilot was a member of the Lions Club chapter holding the fundraiser the day of the crash, but none of the money he was collecting from passengers was going to the club. He also owned the airport. Find a link to the full NTSB factual report at the bottom of the text version of this story, dated October 26th at aero-news.net. Up next on ANN, AEA fights the FAA's call for safety management systems. AirTran pilots want a piece of the company's newfound profits. And Southwest settles a shareholder lawsuit. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin WAS Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin WAS GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 27th. I'm Paul Plack. FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt can be heard in today's Aero News special feature, talking up the benefits of safety management systems in business aviation. But the Aircraft Electronics Association has filed comments with the FAA opposing the imposition of SMS on maintenance organizations. AEA says it supports safety, but says the FAA's expressed intent to address unknown problems lies outside the scope of current rulemaking practices. AEA says the proposal places, quote, an excessive, unwarranted, and unjustified administrative burden, unquote, on maintenance organizations. Read more under regulatory updates at www.aea.net. With the announcement that AirTran Airways realized a $10.4 million profit for the third quarter and projections of continued profitability, the Airline Pilots Association says AirTran pilots expect management to recognize their contributions to the success of the airline at the bargaining table. Contract talks have been going on for 5 years. The union charges that AirTran pilots are paid up to 26% below industry average, while AirTran executives have received salaries and lucrative bonus packages that place them in the top tier of airline managers. First Officer Lyndon Hillman, chairman of the AirTran unit of ALPA, says the union's goal, quote, is to reach an agreement in the near future that improves pilots' pay, job protections, and overall quality of life, while allowing for the continued profitability of AirTran, unquote. Southwest Airlines has settled a lawsuit stemming from safety violations regarding fatigue crack inspections, which resulted in payment of $7.5 million in fines to the FAA last year. The Dallas Morning News reports that the lawsuits were brought by the Carbon County, Pennsylvania Employees Retirement System, which had invested in the airline. Southwest has agreed to pay over $3.5 million in fees and expenses for the plaintiff's lawyers, and in exchange, claims against Southwest, its officers, and directors will be dropped. Still ahead, here's a seminar you don't want to miss. Travelers exits the GA insurance market, and a deadline looms in NASA's Reduced Gravity Education Flight Program. You're listening to AeroNews.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation, the Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, October 27th. I'm Paul Platt. Here's a guy who knows how to pack his seminars. ANN has learned that Doug Ritter, chairman of the Equipped to Survive Foundation, will offer two seminars at AOPA Summit next week. One is scheduled Thursday the 5th at 2 p.m. entitled 121.5 Replacement Options, 406 ELTs, PLBs, and More. Your 121.5 ELT is virtually useless. That whole thing is the title of the seminar. The other one is the following day at 11 a.m. and is called Ditching and Water Survival. At his two seminars, Doug plans to award attendees $5,000 worth of equipment, including three 406 megahertz emergency locator transmitters and four 406 megahertz personal locator beacons. So don't be late. If you have general aviation insurance with Travelers, it may be time to start shopping. The Travelers Companies Incorporated tell the online trade journal Business Insurance that it stopped quoting new business in the U.S. and will honor pending quotes through December 31st, but after that, will write no more new policies. Global and commercial airline customers are not affected. A spokeswoman for the company explained to Business Insurance, quote, the company has been pleased with the performance thus far, but the coverage limits and reinsurance required to be effective in the U.S. aviation market were just simply outside Travelers' underwriting position and appetite, unquote. Some analysts are predicting the loss of competition will end what has been a soft market for reinsurers, possibly creating upward pressure on rates. And finally today, if you're an undergrad planning to submit a team proposal for NASA's Reduced Gravity Education Flight Program, better get moving. Proposals have to be received by 11:59 p.m. Central Time tomorrow night. The program gives aspiring explorers a chance to propose, design, and fabricate a reduced gravity experiment. Selected teams will get to test and evaluate their experiments aboard a modified Boeing 727 jetliner, provided by the Zero Gravity Corporation of Las Vegas. Douglas Goforth, the program manager at NASA's Johnson Space Center in Houston, comments, quote, conducting a hands-on research and engineering project in a truly reduced gravity laboratory gives students a head start in preparing for those future ventures, unquote. The program also gives students a valuable education in deadlines, The only way to make it now is to put your proposal in rich text, Microsoft Word, or Adobe PDF formats, and use the online proposal submission form. Hurry up and get the details using the link at the bottom of the text version of this story, dated October 26th at aero-news.net. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt's address at NBAA 2009, in which he talks about the role of safety management systems in making one of aviation's safest segments even safer. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.